Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your children. We would be so happy to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we conclude our sermon series, Next Level Joy, that has been looking at the letter to the Philippians. We will be in chapter 4 this morning. Last Sunday, we learned that a key component of next level joy is really knowing Jesus personally. This Sunday, we'll see how to put next level joy into practice in our daily lives. Paul says in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. May God bless you this week with his joy and love. Thank you for listening.
Children's Time is led by Pastor Cobb.
Okay, can anybody tell me who this is?
SpongeBob.
All right. So you know who SpongeBob is? All right. I like SpongeBob and his friend Patrick. You didn't think I knew that, did you? But hey, I had little kids at one time too. All right. Anybody tell me who this is? LeBron James. What does LeBron James do? Do anybody know? Anybody for know who? It's hard to keep up. He changes teams all the time, but he's with the Lakers now, I think. All right. This guy is on lots of commercials now, but he used to play a sport. What's that? Wait for a second, all right? It's not Patrick Mahomes. Thank you very much. Who's this right? Anybody know?
Yes, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. All right, he's on a, what is it, on that Progressive Insurance with Brad Paisley or something like that? Nationwide, that's what it is. He does Nationwide, all right? He watches a little bit of TV here, Kendra, I think, all right? But that's Peyton Manning. Who's else some people? Who's else some famous people that you all know? Who's some famous people that you know?
Michael Jordan.
Could have done Michael Jordan. What about Taylor Swift? Do you know who Taylor Swift is? What about any other singers?
Luke Bryan.
Yeah, they had the Country Music Awards this week. Jason Aldean. Yeah, a bunch of those. So you guys know them. You know who they are? What else do you know about them? Do you know them personally? Have you been to their house before? You haven't been to their house before? Name me some people that you do know where you've been to their house. What about grandpa and grandmas? Been grandpa and grandmas, mom and dad. Who else? Friends and family. So you know them because you went and visited with them. You spent time with them, right? Okay, so there's a difference between knowing someone, knowing about them, and really knowing them, all right? So what does it take to really know someone? What do you got to do? You got to spend time with them, right? Spend time with them, get to know who they are, find out what they like, what they don't like, what their favorite color is, things like that. Well, we're going to read a story today about two sisters. One sister chose to do the right thing, which seemed probably the wrong thing. And the one sister thought that she had done the right thing, did the wrong thing, and Jesus called him on, all right? So it's called Mary and Martha. Jesus visits Mary and Martha. And it says, Jesus and his disciples came to a village. A woman named Martha opened her home to him. All right, Jesus is going there to visit Mary and Martha's house. He was close friends with them. Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet listening to what he said. See Mary down here? She's just sitting down there the whole time, all right? But here's Martha. What's she doing? She's cooking and cleaning. She's running around doing all this stuff, and she's upset. Why do you think she's upset for? Why? Mary isn't helping her. She's just sitting there doing nothing, in Martha's opinion, right? She came to Jesus and asked, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What had Mary chosen to do? Sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him so she could get to know who Jesus was. And that's what I'm going to encourage you all to do. The way we get to know Jesus is we read our Bibles, we go to church, we pray, we spend time with him, okay? That's how we really get to know him instead of just knowing stuff about Jesus. Because coming, what's coming up in what comes up around Christmas time? Jesus' birth. We all know about that. We know those things. But do we really know who Jesus is? All right, so let's pray. Father, help us to spend the time like Mary did, listening to Jesus. We do that by when we go to Sunday school class, when we read our Bibles at home, when we pray, when we fellowship with one another. We do that at church. Help us, Father, to know Jesus personally and not know just stuff about him. Bless each one here. Keep them safe. Protect their hearts and minds. We ask this all in your name. Amen. All right, guys. Thank you for coming up.
Our first lesson comes from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glory to the Son, that the Son may glorify thee, since thou hast given him power over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is the eternal life, that they know thee and the only truth God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which has given me to you. And now, Father, glorify thou in thy presence, and the glory which is I had thee before the world was made. Here ends our first lesson. The second lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. For this reason, because I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all saints, I do not cease to give for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the glory, may be giving you in spirit of wisdom and in revelation to the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope in which he has called you, for are the riches and of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of the power in us whom believe according to the working of his great mighty might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and above every name that is named, that is above the authority and power, dominion, and above every name, and that the name not only in the age, but also in which is has to come. Here ends our scripture lesson.
Thank you, Carla, for reading scripture, and thank you for the verses that were there. I hope you've enjoyed our tour, our study through the letter to the Philippians. Four short chapters, but packed so much in there. I hope you've taken advantage to read through that this month, and we'll be in chapter 3 this morning. We'll be camping out there. In chapter 1, we saw that next level joy depends upon focusing our life on Christ. For me, to live is Christ. Chapter 2, we saw that it was to live like Christ in our relationship with others, that we were to have the same mindset, the same attitude as Christ Jesus in our relationship with others. Now we're going to be in chapter 3 and find out that the next component of next level joy is knowing Christ, knowing him personally. And I love this chapter. Now, I hold on to it when I think about, you know, where's my focus need to be and what I need to have true joy in my life. And that's where we're going to be at this morning. So if you want to turn there or pull it up on your phone or use the Bible there in front of you. But he starts off chapter 3 with this. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. And we talked about 15 or 16 times. He talks about joy. He talks about rejoicing. He talks about thanksgiving. And again, he says, it's not hard for me to remind you of these things or say to these things to you again. Rejoice in the Lord and not in anything else. He says, don't rejoice in your goodness. Don't rejoice in your accomplishments. Don't rejoice in your possessions or even your titles. But just like last week, Paul starts to address an issue that could do serious damage to the Philippian church and to their joy. Last week, we saw Paul address disagreements and disharmony between two people of the church. Two people had served together for years. They were companions by Paul's side, but there had been a disagreement that broke out. And so he told them, he says, look to Jesus in your relationship with another. You know, have service at your heart, sacrifice at your heart, submission at your heart, so that you all could have the harmony of relationship that you need to. This week, he targets false teachers. They were a group of Jewish Christians that took pride in being Jewish. They took pride in being their heritage and that maybe they were just a little bit better than the Gentile Christians because of their heritage. And they were trying to tell the Gentile Christians that they needed to follow some of the Jewish laws and Jewish customs so that they could be even better Christians. They were trying to destroy the message of faith and grace only that comes through Jesus Christ. So Paul uses some names to kind of get this group's attention. When he writes the letter, he calls them dogs. He calls them evildoers. He calls them mutilators of the flesh, he says, because they were putting confidence in the things of the flesh. They were wearing them as physical merit badges. They thought that their heritage, that people should treat them differently because of some of the physical things that they had done in their life. And I brought some things with me here, and you know, I can kind of identify with that. I brought a couple of my senior Olympic medals. I've got a whole bunch of them in the office. You guys want to come by and take pictures of them, or you know, just you know, hold them and see what they're like? Because I don't know if anybody else in here has those. I may be the only one here that has them. And you know, if I was to wear them and kind of parade around California, Missouri, and let people see my medals, you'd probably think that's a little strange, wouldn't you? Because why is the reason I'm wearing them? I want people to notice. I want people to talk to me about my accomplishments so I can tell the story. Oh, why am I wearing the medals? Oh, let me tell you. This one's for free throw shooting. This one's for three-point shooting. And like I said, I've got years of them. And, you know, they're sitting there in my office if you want to come, like I said, and take a picture. And then I knock them off, so I don't treat them very nice. So, but you can check them out there. But we see there that they were more concerned about their outward appearance. And we talked about that a few months ago, that our faith is more than outward appearance. We're not saved by the physical things that we do, like going to church or giving money or helping an elderly person go across the street or any of those things. But it's with an inner conviction in the person, life of Jesus Christ himself. We see disharmony. We see false teaching going on. We see Paul chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. To me, I would be very discouraged with all of these things weighing on my mind. But what does Paul start out chapter 3 with again? Rejoice in the Lord. See, I want some of that joy. You know, I think all of us could use a little bit of that joy every single day. And so that's why we're going to focus on chapter 3 today to help us increase our joy. And that he gives us a glimpse here. He gives us a little look into what exactly helps us with our joy. Look at verse 8, the first part of it there in chapter. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He says the most important thing, that everything, even these medals, all the accomplishments that I've had, he says, is to know Jesus personally. So really to know Jesus and not to know just about him. But to get to that point, we need to get rid of a few things. We need to do the preliminaries. And you can follow the outline of the sermon in the bulletin there. And he tells us there are little things that we need to do to get to next level joy. And he says it in verse 13. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me. He says, if I'm going to really have true level joy and really know Jesus personally, he says, I need to get rid of some things. I need to forget some things that are behind me. So first, Paul talks about forgetting his pride. He had all these great individual accomplishments, all these things that he could hold up in front of people and say, hey, I've done all these great things. You need to recognize my life. But what does he say there about his accomplishments? He says there in verses 4 through 6, he lists some of them. He says, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day, just like Jesus. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, the most special tribe of Israel. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I still know the Jewish language and I can speak it. In regard to the law, I was the ultimate. I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I was persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on their law, I was faultless. He says, I had it all. I climbed the highest rung. I was the magna cum laude of the Jewish faith. Paul checked off all the necessary boxes. Born of the right race, the right family, the right school, the right profession, the ultimate success. Completely faultless. But still, he said, all of those things I need to put behind me because they cause me pride. But we have our own checklist, don't we? I've gone to church here ever since I was a baby. Baptized here, confirmed here, First Communion here, married here, served on the consistory, served on that committee, served on that committee. But Paul says that's not really the point of it all. Those are byproducts of our faith. The real goal of my faith is knowing Christ. And after he met Jesus, Paul tells us how he feels about all those past accomplishments in his resume. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. He uses a word there. He says, all those things I just listed that I could take pride in, all the things that we could list and take pride in, he says, I consider all those things garbage compared to knowing Christ. And the word they use there in that translation of garbage is a nice word. It's not your traditional trash that you put in the paper or in your trash can and put out by the side. It's actually referring to animal waste is what it's referring to. He says, it's just not regular trash. I think of it so much, it's just like, a cow pie out in the pasture out there. He says, you've got to get rid of the things that take pride in your life that separate you from knowing Christ fully. But maybe your problem isn't pride in your spiritual or physical accomplishments. Maybe you struggle with shame or failure or guilt. Maybe you're reminded regularly of your shortcomings, so you find it hard to forget the past. And Paul had a lot to forget in his past, didn't he? All of us have something that we're reminded of that kind of make us feel a little bit less about our faith. I remember in fifth grade, I took the Iowa test of basic skills. I know a lot of people in my generation remember that. Number two leaded pencil, filling in the oval and all those different things, and took it in fifth grade. The counselor came in and he looked at us and said, okay, here's the test. When I say put your pencil down, put your pencil down. So we take the test, and I had never not completed a test. We get down to it. He says, put his pencil down. I think his timing was off, but that's another issue. And so he told me to put our pencils down, but I had three questions left, and I just couldn't leave them blank. It's like a phobia with me. So, man, I filled them in real quick, and I put my pencil down. 30 minutes later, after he had left, we get a call from the counselor's office that he needed to see Russell Cobb. So I went to the counselor's office, and I go in there, and he says, Russ, I saw that you didn't put your pencil down. I'm going to have to invalidate the whole test. I thought my academic career was over. I thought my fifth grade Iowa test, the basic skills, would follow me all the way till high school, and I was devastated. This was before I became a Christian. 3 years later, I became a Christian, started going to Ninth Street Christian Church. Who do you think was one of our youth leaders? The high school counselor, or the junior middle school counselor, Ronnie Buster. Every time I saw him, I would think about my failure in front of my guilt, my shame, and I said, boy, that's what must come to his mind when he sees me. Finally, I told Ronnie, I just said, Mr. Buster, I am so sorry about what I did, and I feel so guilty and everything. He says, Russ, I don't even remember that. And so we've got to remember to forget our past. Paul had a lot to forget. He tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. He says, I've done terrible things, but it reminds me of God's grace and his patience for me so that others can know that there's no mistake too big that God can't forgive. And we all have those things in our past. Probably much more important than not feeling or not stopping when an Iowa test of basic skills. Much more devastating things. But Paul says we got to forget those things. Put those things in the past. But you'd say, preacher, Paul reportedly repeatedly told us about his story. He preached all the way through the book of Acts. You can see it preached about three different times. Well, see, Paul didn't dwell in his past. He didn't wallow in his shame or his guilt. He told this story as inspiration to everybody that would listen, that if God can save me, he can save you. So we've got to forget the guilt. We've got to forget the shame. But don't forget how God changed you and forgive you. But too many times we let our past weigh us down. We're running with ankle weights unnecessarily around our weight, burying us down when Jesus has already paid the price. So if you want true next level joy, forget the shame and guilt of your past. Rid yourself of the pride that keeps you from knowing the grace of God. Forget what is behind and make a plan. He says next, make a plan and set a goal. Look what he says in verses 12 through 14, or start with verse 11 there, or verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He tells us right there that if we're going to know Jesus Christ personally, we've got to have a plan and set it as a goal. He says, I haven't gotten to my goal yet. The plan for my life has not really taken place yet, but I'm focusing on knowing Christ. He uses a word there. There's two words for knowing. One is to know about someone. We talked about that in the children's sermon. The other one is really knowing someone, to personally know them. The word, same word is used in the Hebrew for an intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. It's one where you really know that person, their likes, their dislikes, their favorite color, their favorite food, their favorite hobby, what they talk about, what they care about most. Paul says, I want to know the power of Jesus' resurrection, participate in his sufferings. He says, I want to know the innermost part of Christ so I can have the strength to live the life that God wants me to live. I brought something else with me. Again, I don't want to brag, but I'm going to brag here again. And so I've got a problem with the first part of the sermon, but you guys can talk with me about that later. But I brought some stuff here. This is one of my things from my senior year of high school. But in it, I have some autographs. Oh, yeah, here it is, right here. And autographs of some of my favorite Dallas Cowboy players. And I've got Drew Pearson down here. I've got Tom Landry. I've got Pat Summerall, who was there that day. Tony Dorsett is right there. But the one that I'm most proud of, and you guys can't see it, you can come up and take a picture of it later if you want to. But it says, Hi, Russell, Roger Staubach. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. I know Roger Staubach personally, all right? He got my name mentioned right there. He spelled it correctly with two L's and two S's. Me and Roger are tight, all right? I know everything about Roger, all right? I know I read his autobiography. I know he's from Cincinnati. He went to the Navy. He won the Heisman. He went to Vietnam before being drafted by the Cowboys. He won two Super Bowls. He retired after several concussions. He's married with five children, has several grandchildren. He lost both of his parents when he was only in his 20s and his 30s. Very successful commercial real estate agent in Dallas. That's how my Aunt Barbara met him when he came through her office. Oh, yeah, me and Roger are tight. We're like this, all right? If you see him, though, and you ask about me, he may act like he doesn't know me, all right? But he's just wanting to make sure. He's just wanting to make sure that he doesn't get too many people close to him. I think a lot of us are that way with Jesus. Yeah, I know him. Born in a manger, three wise men, angels, shepherds, Mary, Joseph, some miracles, Sermon on the Mount, some parables, fed the 5,000, healed a bunch of people, died on the cross, buried in the tomb, rose on the third day, coming back someday, going to judge everyone. Yeah, I know Jesus, but do I really know who he is? We read it earlier. Jesus said this, Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Knowing Jesus personally changed everything for Paul in his life. Has it changed your life? Have you seen a noticeable difference in your life since Jesus came into it? Paul not only wanted to know Jesus personally, but he wanted to know the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know that power and know how much Jesus suffered. But then he tells us, he says, I haven't gotten there yet. He says, I'm still arriving at that goal. He says, I still have a ways to go. That's kind of hard for me to understand. I mean, he wrote the majority of the New Testament. He was the most influential person of the New Testament outside Jesus. And he says, I've still not gotten there yet. What he says, until the day that we receive our crown, our motivation should always be knowing who Christ is. Set that as our finish line, to know him personally and completely, and not take our eyes off it. I watched some videos this past year. Beth Damp has posted videos of Pete running cross country. And she'll show the ones when he's running, getting close to the finish line, and she's cheering him on and telling him to finish strong. I've never seen Pete look away and wave at his mom. I've never seen him give him the peace sign. I've never seen him stop and start running backwards toward the finish line. Pete's focused on the finish line. And that's what he's telling us right here today. You know, just like Pete is sweating and straining and running his hardest at the finish line, we're to do the same with our faith to know Jesus personally and make that the core of our being. But why do we forget our past, forget our pride? Why do we set a goal of knowing Christ personally so that we can receive the prize and the promise? Look what he tells us there in verses 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's what we're going for. That's why we're straining. That's why we're pressing on, to win the prize and receive the promise. Paul wrote it this way in Timothy. He says, I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness that the righteous judge will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who've longed for his appearing. He says the winner of the race gets called up to the king's podium, and they're awarded a wreath and a garland. The king looks down and waves the winner up and says, come on up here. That's what Paul is saying to us, that after all of our straining, after all of our pressing on, after all the things that we've put behind us, he says, you're going to win the prize and receive the promise. That's how come I know the Apostle Paul would be at every Pinto sporting event he could, because he compared life to a race. I remember our middle daughter Kelly was in a fun run. They run two laps around the track. And the ones that had the best times got to have a special day where the parents got to come in and watch them. And man, I had such high hopes for my middle daughter. I thought she was going to be a track star after this day. And turned out she was slower than molasses every year that she got older. All right, but that day, I gave her three things to do. I said, get to the inside. Don't look back. And run your hardest on the last 100 yards. And boy, she did that. She got to the inside, ran. Man, her and another boy led the whole way. And they finished. But the thing about that I remember the most is that Coach Kinnicky, the baseball coach at Hallsville, he just got inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. Over 600 wins. 3 state titles, numerous district titles, 7 or 8 trips to the Final Four. But what I remember about that day is him coming down, and every kid that came down the finish line, he got down on one knee, and he said, come on, keep on coming, keep on coming. You can do it, you can do it. And then he had hugged every one of them. My daughter and the boy that finished first, all the way till the last kid that was 100 yards behind him. And that's what Paul is saying right here. He's saying our citizenship is in heaven. We got to press on to those things, because that's the most important thing. Jim Elliot said it this way, the martyred missionary to Ecuador. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he can't lose. And I love what Mother Teresa, and these are in your bulletin. This life in light of eternity will be nothing more than a bad night in a cheap hotel. Think about the worst hotel motel you've ever slept in. I can think of more than a few, because I was always looking for the best prices on our vacations. And sometimes we got burned by those. Our prize is heaven, and our promise is a brand new body. He says he will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. No more scars, no more diseases, no more pain, no more flaws, perfect and everlasting, just like Jesus. That is true next level joy. That's not dependent on anything on this earth. If it is, then my joy is going to go up and down. But the next level joy has the prize and promise of Jesus at its foundation. Man was walking on a beach. He found that elusive lamp with the magic genie in it that we all read about and we've seen. This genie only, though, gave him one wish instead of three. I don't know, must have been the economy at that time. But he only got one wish. And he stopped for a moment and says, hey, give me the newspaper with the stock market on it a year from now. Boy, he got that poof and the genie was gone. So he was writing down all of his notes, how wealthy he was going to be, all the things he was going to buy. He flipped the page over just to see what was on it. It was the obituary page. And he noticed a name at the top of the list. It was his name. He had made all these plans physically for all the things that he wanted, to find out that in a year, they weren't going to matter anymore. The most important thing that we have to do is to get to know Christ personally. We do that through our worship. We do that through our own reading. We do that through our prayer and our fellowship with one another. Paul told the Corinthians, says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to make that eternal decision for the Lord. Now is the day to start winnowing out those things keeping you from next level joy, so you can really know Jesus Christ and have true, eternal, never-ending joy. For me to live as Christ and die as gain. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. And then I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and participate in the sufferings and becoming like him in his death. Do you know him today? You do that first by believing in him, making him Lord of your life. Maybe you need to rid yourself of some of the things hindering your faith. That's called repentance. The goal of next level joy is to be called up to the king's podium and to be awarded that crown of life by the judge himself, not some assistant angel or not some angel in training called Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life. If you've got any questions about that this morning, let's get together and talk. If you want to make this church your home, give me a call or shoot me an email or a text.